Yeah, buddy, it's hour one of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. We are live at the Brass Tap in Rockwall. They got whatever you need. I told you I just had one of the best shrimp baskets of my life. I'm having a pitcher of Diet Coke delivered, so I'm fired up and ready for 5 hours of sports with you. Thank you, sir. Thanks to Stella Artois for having us out here once again today. Finest beer in the land. Come on out with us, and you know, we'll crack them with you. We'll do some fellowship. It'd be nice to see you. General at your service. If you see me, bear me. N.A. There's Brian Bros, former Cowboy Scout, NFL executive. You have Lucius Alexander back home in the Pimp Cup at Master Control about, you know, what are we looking at, 20 miles due west from our broadcast position today. Woolchuck and Schiafalo in the house. Woolchuck once again all dressed up nice. He was on TV doing East-West Shrine Game practice stuff. Let me fix your collar there for you, buddy.
Thanks, buddy. I need all the help I can get.
No, you look damn good.
I only own like two collared shirts.
Look damn good. Carter Freeman's coordinating your video. You can watch us 105throughthefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. And thanks for making us part of your day. Was it fun? I know coming up at 2:20, we're going to talk prospects.
Yeah.
Who stood out?
It was a blast, man. It was my first time really getting to go to the East-West Shrine Bowl and experience those practices. I mean, it's both teams did it differently. One team actually did some one-on-one, so we got some good offensive line, defensive line action, and the DBs and receivers, which I love. You did some 7-on-7 red zone period. Other team didn't do one-on-ones, but they did situational work. So it's like there's a minute 3 on the clock, you got one timeout, you're down 2. There's a minute 15 on the clock, you got 2 timeouts, you need a touchdown to win. Hmm. So the situational football aspect of it I thought was a blast to watch as well.
Right on. So we'll have a lot of draft for you, obviously, all you know, winter and into the spring. And as this is really the beginning of draft season with this deal and the Shrine Bowl and through the combine, we're very excited about that. Nice win for the Mavs last night, though, guys. And I think a big picture storyline to ask you about right now is they scrape by with that Thunder win without touching 500. Now they've built a little bit of a cushion. You have New Orleans and Detroit coming up here this week. Hopefully they can win games against horrible opponents, which has been a problem with them over the last month or so. Unfortunately, during this Luka injury, they've gone back to playing horrible against bad teams. But what's that doing for you? Is that has your fanmanship or your belief been buoyed? You know, I think we're looking at them needing to win about 16 of the remaining 35 games now to at least be a play-in team. That seems a lot more manageable than maybe we were talking about it a couple of weeks ago.
No, man, I was doom and gloom guy a little bit. Not as doom and gloom as Bassick, but, man, when you start losing games to Charlotte, New Orleans, and then you turn around and you win one against, you know, but they've got Oklahoma City's number. You know,
I was talking those two wins.
Yeah, I was talking to some folks, though. The New Orleans game, super important. Guy told me Detroit's playing better. I was, you know, Detroit last year was kind of what, you know, what we saw in Washington. My guy said, Washington's a damn bad team. And I said, well, play them every day then.
Yeah.
You know, and he's like, yeah, you wish. But, you know, you need to go out and you need to take care of these games. Because, like you said, you got some games coming up in Philadelphia, Boston, those that are going to be. Boston is, we've seen them the other night, what they can do to you. Philadelphia has been a little bit of a team that struggled with the injuries, but boy, it'd be nice to start getting some players healthy again, because they are doing it literally in, you know, with they're just throwing junk at these teams and hoping that they can find the combinations that work for them. There's really, you know, no kind of rhyme or reason to it. It's like, okay, tonight we're going to need to play this way, and then tomorrow night we might have to play this way. So they'd love to get all their guys back. They were like, at one time they were a team that, you know, they were on a streak there, a nice little winning streak. When they were whole before Christmas break, they were winning a lot of games. And like I say, now they're just kind of a shell of a team, just trying to keep their head above water and throw that junk at the opponents and hope it works that night.
Yeah, and you need somebody to step up and have a big game for you, and it was P.J. Washington and, you know, Kyrie Irving and Spencer Dinwiddie at times against the Thunder, but last night, right out of the gates, it was Klay Thompson with a historic Mavs shooting performance, 7 threes. He put up 10 of them in the first quarter, but 7 threes in the first quarter, too shy of the record that he set in the league-wide about 10 years or so ago. He made 9 threes in a big third quarter flurry. So that was really cool to see him hit like that. I'm still open-minded to trading him. You know, I think there's going to be big Klay Thompson moments, but as we sit here with over half the season played, I think I've seen enough that I think his offense is too inconsistent at this stage in his career, and his defense is definitely not a help anymore. I think he'd be kind of a liability in a playoff series and not help you out with scoring enough. So I'm open-minded to it. You know, I know it's kind of a sensitive situation after you just signed the guy and you went through the courting of, you know, that whole deal. Maybe it'd be a bad business move. But I think it's important enough right now that I'd say, I'm sorry we're doing a bad business move, but, you know, we need to do what's in the best interest of our chances of winning right now, because the Mavs championship opportunity is now, especially since they won those two games against OKC. I mean, if you had not won those games unexpectedly, you'd be looking at having to play above 500 from this point forward just to be a play-in team and get to 41 wins. So let's appreciate those. But after these two, New Orleans and Detroit, and you're right, Brian, the Pistons are a 500 team. It's Cleveland, which is at the top of the East. Mm-hmm. You know, they're an absolute demon of a regular season team. I don't know if they're real contenders.
Yeah.
But, man, they can stack up wins, and they're hard to beat in the regular season.
It's crazy to think about that, man. They're so good in the regular season, but, like, would you pick them to beat Boston? Absolutely not.
No. No, you wouldn't. But getting to the Eastern Conference Finals, that ain't bad.
Yes. The Rockets are on the schedule here, four or five games out.
Yeah, and 31-14.
That's a pesky team.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good. Very athletic. That's going to be tough. And, you know, you'll have the Kings, Warriors, Heat as well before the All-Star break. So hopefully this thing is manageable. I'm having a lot of fun seeing, you know, how the games go. Because I think NBA basketball is still a very entertaining product, even if you get all the threes. And right now, they're trying to hold it down until you get reinforcements. You know, there's something fun about it. Okay. Oh, by the way, Clay was asked about a potential All-Star weekend event. You know, it's in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Him and Curry and Caitlin Clark and Sabrina Ionescu in some sort of a competition.
Yes.
It'd be a blast. Let's do that.
Yeah, it would be.
Was it Steph versus Sabrina last year?
Yes. I thought that was going to happen. I thought when they announced the things, they were going to do like a.
The way he talked about it last night, he was like, I'd love to be a part of it. I don't know much about it, though.
Okay. maybe they were trying to I could see Clay just being a bit aloof to just about anything.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
No. Wait, this was scheduled?
They asked me to do it?
Oh, yeah, sure. I'm in, yeah.
Well, because they came out with the new All-Star dynamic, like whatever it was, maybe like a
is
month
it
and a half
or 3-on-3
so
basketball
ago.
Or 4-on-4? What are we doing in this thing? We get various.
Well, they have multiple teams
multiple
now
teams,
instead of just
yeah.
two teams. Yeah. You're talking about, I guess it's three or four teams, and then you tournament style to victory. But yeah, I think you got to try. And if you're the NBA, it's a no brainer to have the Splash Bros. You have a Battle of the Sexes thing going. You're promoting the WNBA. Caitlin Clark is a freaking absolute superstar. That's not even you doing a favor to her. That's her doing a favor to you if she's getting in the mix on that. And that would be must watch. I mean, last year Steph versus Ionescu was actually really
incredible.
Really fun and entertaining.
Yeah.
And you add Caitlin Clark and Clay into the mix in the Bay. It's a no-brainer.
It'd be a blast.
Yeah, it would be. It'll be fun tonight. The Stars are in Las Vegas, 9 o'clock, playoff positioning on the line. You know, obviously you feel the rivalry there with Las Vegas, considering the recent history. Ottinger has had some massive games recently. Can he do it again tonight against a high-powered Golden Knights offense?
Man, the last 2 minutes of that game the other night in Dallas against Vegas, it just goes to show you how important goaltending is. Because they set up, like Vegas set up three different plays where, like, empty net goal, except Otter getting across, getting a glove, getting a stick, getting a body. But, man, that just – Vegas is tough to play. There's so much talent on that. And you're going to – and the crowds in Vegas are great, too. So it's a real home ice advantage to them. But, man, the Stars have played really, really well on the road. Didn't matter whether they go to on the East Coast, West Coast, wherever they've been playing on the road, they've been doing a pretty nice job there. So another big one coming up here against the Knights.
I mean, you got to be sharp. Special teams is going to be key tonight.
Absolutely.
Vegas is great at that. Defensive line depth, you know, can a guy like Thomas Harley have a big game, come up with some big plays? You need everybody. And, again, that playoff positioning on the line, all these kind of games will be – you know, hugely pivotable in determining the bracket here in just a couple of months. I did like what I saw from Schottenheimer yesterday, continuing to digest the social media, the reactions from it. I don't know if cautiously optimistic is the right tone, but I do feel like it could have been a lot worse than Schottenheimer. Maybe you lucked into the fact that you have a guy in the building who's really wanting to get motion going right? And you, this is maybe what the Cowboys fans that want that kind of offense needed, because the Cowboys were never going to go on a search for one. They were never going to hire the hot candidate that's running a top offense. You sort of needed for it to fall in your lap, and just maybe that's what happened. Can you get with me at all on that?
Yeah, that's certainly the reason to be optimistic. He said the right things when he talked about more condensed formations. The Cowboys played super wide. All of their wide receivers were outside by the numbers. That's something where you look at the condensed formations, that's what Sean McVay really makes a living on with the Rams. Mm-hmm. They use probably the most Dolphins, in all of the National Football League. Dolphins,
49ers.
McDaniel, who came from obviously Kyle Shanahan, all of them studying under Mike, but absolutely – did he reinvent himself? Did he go and look at some of these other new innovative offenses? And is he actually going to do that? I think it, right now, as Cowboy fans, we're all just super pessimistic. We've heard the talk. We got to see it, right? So that is the reason to kind of have hope. But it's what do we see on Sunday when the season kicks off? And I don't know if we even see it in Oxnard, if it means that it's going to translate to the football field in games.
Yeah, I wonder. Help me with this one, guys. You know, he said all the right things about what he wants to do. Do you wonder if he was saying these things to McCarthy? You know, and do you wonder, was he being such a good soldier, you know, of not wanting to go to the Joneses and say, well, hey, listen, we could do this. We play way too open. We need to be condensed. We need to run more motion. We need to get Turpin more involved. We need to – it just makes me wonder – did he just sit in his office, close the door, and not say anything and not want to upset the apple cart? Where you could have maybe said, hey, listen, coach, Mike, listen, you know, we've got to think about doing this. I watched tape the other day of the 49ers or the Rams, and they were doing this, and they were attacking people this way. Because this thing could have, you know, if he sat there and did nothing about it, then I feel kind of like, that sucks, you know?
Like a sabotage?
Well, I don't know if it's a sabotage, but it's like, you know, are you just being such a good soldier that you're going to just put your head down and march? And, you know, and now he's talking about all these things. And obviously he sent him to the Joneses in a way that they hired him as the head coach. You know, I wish, did he not step up when things were not good? Or did McCarthy just dismiss him?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want to know.
Mm-hmm.
Did he just... close this door. I've been there, man. Close your door. Work on self-improvement. Nobody's going to listen to you. Get ready for your next gig.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder if he did that, or did he try and McCarthy just said, no, bro, nah. And now, you know, and now the Joneses are like, whoa, I like what I'm saying here.
Yeah.
You know, as a general manager, I would have gone into my guys and said, listen, do we have any better ideas here what we're doing on offense?
Mm-hmm.
Has anybody got – Shoddy, you got something over there you're working on?
Yeah, it's just – I think it is a little bit easier said than done when you have an entire offensive staff that is geared one way. And now all of a sudden you got one guy, and they did implement some of the motion stuff as the year went on last year, and their rushing attack didn't benefit from it. Their passing attack certainly did up until they went up against the cream of the crop defenses and opponents, but – how much of that can you really, like, can you just ask Mike Solari to start teaching run concepts in a particular way after he's been coaching for forever doing it, you know, one way?
Yeah.
I don't know that it's that easy.
So you think
that
Schottenheimer just sat in his office, closed the door, and tried to work on self-improvement in the next job? Ultimately, it got him the head coaching job.
I'd like to think that he had a hand in revamping some of the things they did do in 2023 when they shifted things, and you could tell in their passing attack, and they got much better after that bye week. I would like to think he had something to do with that, but he probably didn't have enough capability himself to be like, hey, I know how to – Mike Solari, this is how we need to do it. Like, it's easy to look at something and say, man, I would like to do that, but I've never coached it that way. No one around me has coached it that way, so we can try and do some things. We can put guys in motion, and for the passing attack, we can try some stuff, but implementing a whole new way of doing something, maybe he did speak up and McCarthy didn't want to do it, or just – we're not capable. I'm McCarthy. I've been doing this for 30 years one way. That's why I think the staff that Schottenheimer is hiring right now, you talk about that Cardinals guy.
Yeah.
The offensive line coach, whatever. Like, those, he has to surround himself with these guys. I think he has a vision for what he wants, but he's never done it, and he's never been surrounded by it. Man, I think that's really well said, you know, and I think we can hope for the best, you know, with his hires and his ability to implement that. But they tried to implement it second half of 2023. Their running game didn't get better, like Chief has pointed out a couple of times, right? They try to do it. So if you're Mike McCarthy and Brian's like, hey, we should try this, we should try this. Mike's like, we did last year. It didn't work.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, the easiest thing to do in the world in internally inside a team is to politic for the job when the team is burning, when you've lost five in a row.
Yeah.
There's a lot of open ears, and you say, we have the right players.
Yeah.
We have the right front office. You know, we just have this guy that's our head coach that's refusing to do this.
Oh, yeah.
I have the answers for you.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know if that's what Schottenheimer did after being in NFL buildings for more than half of his adult life. That's probably a very adept way of getting a head coaching job. And that's why my fingers are crossed and I'm optimistic that it's actually because he has learned a detailed understanding on how to bring this to fruition.
Yeah, I think they answered your question during the presser yesterday when they specified he's had to bite his tongue a lot. I think it was Mike. I think Mike was not very open to a ton of new ideas. Mm. I do know that there were a couple of times where Mike went to Shoddy, and Shoddy was like, I've kind of been saying we need to do this for a long time. There was certainly a disconnect there between both visions. But I think that probably has a lot to do with, I mean, that's the first thing that I thought of when you brought that up. Like, why are they saying he's got to bite his tongue if he wasn't ever unhappy with something that was going on? So we can be hopeful and optimistic, but you do – we do have a long list of time and stats of him being a play caller.
Yeah.
And he doesn't run any of that stuff.
No, absolutely. I mean, like, I know from my own personal experience, speaking out will get you fired.
Hmm.
And, you know, I didn't learn that till it was already gone, till my opportunity was already, you know. You stand up and you say, hey, guys, this is wrong. This is absolutely wrong what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
Then somebody will find a way to get rid of you.
Well, yeah, and I think in an organization,
maybe he did. Maybe insecure. Schottenheimer just said, "Okay, fine.
Yeah.
You're not going to listen to me. I'm just going to sit back here and we'll see what happens at the end of the year."
G-Bag of the Day is coming up at 2:30. Wolchuk went Shrine Bowl, and what are we going to do next, buddy?
Yeah, we'll talk about some players that caught my eye at the Shrine Bowl that you can watch on Thursday night when they play the game on NFL Network. That's next in the Nation.
Welcome back. It's the G-Back Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We are live in Rockwall at the Brass Tap. Thanks to our friends, your friends, with Stella Artois. Come on by, and we'll fellowship. We'll crack a couple of coldies, have ourselves a time. It's time now for Wolchuk to break down some draft gold that he saw today. He was, evaluating prospects at the East-West Shrine Game practice. This segment of the Nation brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one's injured in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go to frankelfirm.com. It's also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. Here's Wolchuk.
All right, so it was awesome. Thank you so much to Lights Out Sports TV. That's Sean Merriman's bunch. We actually had him on the show a couple weeks ago. But Vach Lombardi and I, along with our friend Bonnie Jill, we were out there broadcasting the last 2 days of practice for the Shrine Bowl. And Eric Gelko and the staff they've got over there was at the University of North Texas Lovelace Family Facility, the indoor there at my old stomping grounds at UNT. And really, the talent that they were able to get there was impressive. And yesterday I brought up the kid from Middlebury, Thomas Perry. Now, he's a Duke guy. Duke Manyweather actually works with him. He's a Division III player. And this is
looks
what...
looks extremely strong.
Extremely strong. Now, he is like kind of short and stocky in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
When I say short, but like I'm talking about...
6'2"?
6'3", maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. But, man, he to me, against some of these bigger-bodied defensive tackles, like specifically you've got Tonka Hemingway, who's a massive dude from South Carolina. Georgia's got another guy that he was going up against, Nazir Stackhouse.
Yeah, Stackhouse is big and strong.
Yes,
yeah.
And him as a bull rusher is very, very difficult to contain. But even a guy, I mean, you look at them side by side, Perry's going to be giving up quite a bit of size, but his ability to just kind of anchor and sit, and he's not getting driven off the football. I mean, the power, and sometimes he's trusting his power a little bit too much to where now I'm kind of a defensive tackle can get him leaning one way. I'm going to use your body weight
and
against
then throw
you,
him, but they can't throw the guy, right?
You can't, but they still did.
Okay.
In some practices, right?
Yeah.
So that would lead to some chippiness. Yeah. But the kid was unbelievable. And after the practice today, I mean, he was just getting mobbed by scouts. Like, the secret's out on this kid from Middlebury. But I was really impressed with Kyle McCord. the quarterback from Syracuse who transferred from Ohio State. I did not think very highly of Kyle McCord before this.
Day two, third round, fourth round guy?
Yeah, I think he's going to start.
Fourth round be day three,
like,
but
he's probably going to be right behind Jackson Dart, I would envision.
Okay.
Like, and maybe Dart plays so well at the Senior Bowl,
yeah,
and people are looking at his film, and he ends up getting into the conversation of, like, second round. Maybe he can sneak into the first round of teams like him more than Milroe. But, yeah, I think third round, Kyle McCord, for teams that need a quarterback, like, he's in that next wave of guys.
Is he? Does he remind you? I know I hate doing this. Is there somebody when you watch on Sundays, and is he kind of a, okay, he's got this kind of mobility. He's got, you know, I mean, I've watched a little Syracuse because as an opponent,
yeah,
but I haven't focused on McCord that way. He came from Ohio State, right?
He did, and he can
so
spin
big
it,
time
man.
Recruit. And then ends up at Syracuse, plays fine football, too.
Right, because they kind of used him as the scapegoat for why they lost to Michigan.
Right.
So he had that awesome audio afterwards where Syracuse ends up, hey, we're going to go. We beat, who was it, at the end of the season that allowed Clemson to get in to the ACC championship game. And I guess I wasn't the problem, right, at Ohio State. But the kid, I mean, he's got the ability to move around. The play action boot was there. And he just throws an extremely accurate football. That was the thing that really stood out to me. Like, they did a lot of red zone work.
Mm-hmm.
So you're in a tight confines.
Huh?
So he's got the touch. The deep ball was there. Two receivers that are absolute studs. Okay, I brought up one yesterday, and you know about one. Nick Nash, San Jose State.
Yeah.
Going to be on the E squad. He's going to wear number 3. Dude was a triple crown winner in college, right, at the FCS levels. He was the leader in receptions, yards, and touchdowns. So he was the Jamar Chase of college football this year. But you watch him move, and it looks different.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's smooth as hell, caught pretty much everything that was thrown his way, even adjusted some bad balls as well. And then the other kid.
Well, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
How does he compare? Have you seen Besh from TCU?
I like Nash more.
Okay. Oh, more than.
Yeah.
See, because I've got Besh as, like, the bottom of the second round. Is Nash second-round receiver?
I think he's definitely going to go in the third. Maybe he can go. It depends on how teams, because he's not as tall as Besh, I don't believe.
Okay. 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 How about with
him?
But
he's a better route runner.
Okay. Well, how about then, have you seen Royals from Utah State?
Yeah, I kind of like Nick Nash's game more well-rounded than Royals as well. Better route runner.
Okay,
now, he doesn't have the yak that Royals does.
Right.
Royals really does. That's what makes him special. After the catch, he's certainly a game-breaker, much like Luther Burden. But I think Nick Nash, like, you know what you're getting. It's kind of like if I'm comparing Emeka Egbuka to some of these other first-round guys, like, does everything well. Nick Nash does everything well.
Okay.
And then we got a kid, Eastern Washington, Efton Chisholm, wide receiver number 81.
Okay, people have asked me a ton about
little
this
dude.
Kid. Yeah.
Little dude, okay? He's this year's, like, Cooper Kupp that's going to go in the middle of the draft. Now, does he end up being Cooper Kupp? I don't know. But you can see the Rams.
When you say little, are
slot,
you talking about, like Taz Johnson?
6 foot.
Oregon? Oh, 6 foot.
Yeah.
Okay.
5'11".
Okay.
You know?
All right.
Shorter,
all right.
Right? But no, not as small as, like, a Kevontae Turpin.
Right.
We're not talking
Taj,
like 5'8".
That's Taj Johnson from Oregon.
Tez,
from
Oregon.
Yeah.
Apparently, he's been crushing it at the Senior Bowl as well. But that's another guy to watch. Offensive lineman, okay? Issei Pohl, Washington State, number 76 on the E squad.
Okay.
Played left tackle. They were working him on the right side. So he's a guy that's got position versatility. But if the Cowboys say they don't take an offensive tackle in the first round, I would keep an eye on this kid, maybe in the third. Issei Pohl out of Washington State, really, really talented player. On the other side, the West team, which I think overall they're just not quite as talented. On the East squad, real quick, just to finish, Za Frazier, the UTSA defensive back, long, lanky. I mean, he fits right in with what Tariq Woolen did, hit the ground running. But there's some players that I do like, especially running backs on the East side. I'm a big fan, as you know, of Taj Brooks, the running back from Texas Tech.
Heard great things about him.
Really, really good player. Jalen Conyers, also tight end out of Texas Tech. If you want to find some tight ends that are blocking well, the West team is going to be a team to watch for you. Like, these are guys, Conyers can give you something after the catch as well, big-bodied receiver. But I think at the block point, I'm interested to see how he does in the game. And then Tyler Batty, Batty, an edge from BYU.
Okay.
Had some quickness to his game, a little bit of bendiness. I liked what we saw from him. But the two defensive tackles are really ones that you're going to want to watch in this game. C.J. West, defensive lineman from Indiana, who was basically unguardable.
Unblockable.
Unblockable. And then Jordan Phillips from Maryland. Yeah. He's a transfer, but Jordan Phillips is another name. I've already seen some people kind of in the second round range. Maybe the Cowboys could be interested there. Jordan Phillips, big wide body, but a sensational player that really – he won every rep that I saw.
Thank you, guys. There it is. Zach Wolchuk's report on East-West Shrine Game. Did a heck of a job there.
It was fun, man.
Yeah, I bet. All right, it's time now to go back into the Pimp Cup. This we're live with the Brass Tap and Rock Wall. Here's Lucius, the G-Bag of the Day.
That's me in the corner. That's me in the spotlight. Light. Losing my religion.
Trying to feel. Yeah. I was just, there you go.
Singing that driving in today. I don't know why. Yeah. It was in my head. Okay, we got a vacated title right here. Mr. Dawson just dropped on us that he's feeling positive about the Cowboys coaching hire. Is that what you said there?
Yeah. I think more than average.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Sure did. Yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for listening, Lucius.
Well, I got a lot of toxic reactions to the Cowboys coaching hire right here for G-Bag of the Day. So, hey. Jeez. Hey, let's see. Let's go to WFFFA TV, Channel 8, where they were talking to an upset Cowboys fan and his gale friend.
The only thing Jerry Jones has ever done was hire Jimmy Johnson that won him 3 Super Bowls. And other than that, he makes a lot of money and that's it. Quit doing football. You don't do football. You suck at football. Quit controlling football. Make America's team great again. You suck. You're the worst owner in all of sports.
I told my boyfriend he should come talking about it because he's such a huge Cowboys fan. He's so upset. He doesn't even want to be associated with the Cowboys right now. He doesn't even want to talk about it. He doesn't want to be on camera about it because he's like so embarrassed that the Cowboys would do this. And he hates the choice so much, he doesn't even want to talk about it.
And I won't pay one dime to see the Cowboys or a jersey or anything. I'm done. Done paying a penny to them. I don't care.
I love it.
Wow.
You know, if I'm wrong about this Brian Schottenheimer thing being slightly lukewarm on a scale of 1 to 10, then I think the silver lining is this is a turning point for the fan base. This is different.
Yeah,
this is great.
Yeah,
you know, this is like when they hired Kellen Moore to be OC. Remember the outrage about that?
Sure.
But now it's your freaking head coach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't get any better when Stephen Jones mocked all of us with the quotes. Like, oh, is this even real? Man. Is there really a drought going on? Like, are you kidding me right now?
My man is not reading the room with that one. The quotes look really bad, Steve. That looks
like an eccentric
really bad,
billionaire.
Yep. That looks bad. All right. Speaking of WFFFA, let's go to the Fan After Dark. My man Blake Elliott has his Super Bowl prediction for you guys. Check this out.
What's your number five? I got Commanders as well. This will be one of two appearances they'll make.
Okay.
I got Commanders Bears. Not very plausible with the Bears new, but I think of Ben Johnson his first year.
Wait a minute. Did you say Commanders Bears?
Yeah.
That's two NFC teams. That's not – I mean, I didn't know we were doing NFC championships.
Yeah, he was looking ahead for next year.
Jeez.
Young Blake.
Oh, no. Well, that'll get you.
I like how Fred handled that.
Fred, what?
Wait a minute.
What? What are you talking about?
That's right. Blake's a legend.
Yeah.
Already.
The gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah. He's not trying. It's not a bit or anything. That's not real.
I know. He's really not.
Commander's Bears.
He's naturally an idiot. He gets out of bed in the morning with that skill set.
Oh, man.
Thank you.
Hey, look at that.
Oh, cheers, buddy. Gosh.
Cheers.
All right, let's go to the morning show here on 105.3 The Fan. Sean and RJ, or as I call it, the RJ and Choppy Show. Which one of these fools will chop? Pastry Chef Eric. We all love him. We know him. He's one of the greatest tolos of all time. And he called into the RJ and Choppy Show to vent about the Cowboys' new hire.
You finally turn on the show, or you just decided to call in?
Yo, I turned on the show.
Why is Sean so damn aggressive, bro?
Always. Always.
God, dog. All right, here we go. I'm sorry.
You finally turn on the show, or you just decided to call in?
Jeez.
Yo, I turned on the show. I decided to call in. No dump button needed.
All right.
I'm ready to go up to the star and just stage a coup, bro. I haven't. Oh, my God. I'm so mad. I called my mom. And she was like, it'll be okay to get better. And I'm like, yeah, you the same lady that told me my dad's coming to pick me up. And I ain't seen him or a Super Bowl since.
Oh, my God.
Listen, fam. Saturday morning, I got up, and I was, like, emotional. I'm so tired. Like, and the rest of the fan base. And he gets on there, and he just lies and lies, and him and his son. And it's like, I feel betrayed, bro. Like, I hope Oxnard is a ghost town. I hope he sees it, because he's not hearing it. I hope nobody goes. And I love you guys, and I want you to have as much content as possible. And I want it to be a good, like, I hope nobody's there. I hope his heart is broken. I hope they realize what they're doing to this fan base. I've been defending this team in different countries, in different states.
Different countries.
You know, I'm from the DMV area. Imagine going out as a kid and got to defend guys in starter jackets and Commanders jerseys.
Man.
It was a good call. That was great, man.
Yeah. Really, what a legend. Should be thrilled as Ohio State Buckeyes just won a natty. Yeah. And the Cowboys have him in the dumps. Yeah.
Well, we'll have a great draft party for you, Oxnard, California, bucket list type of vacation.
Yeah.
You know, your Cowboys apparel on sale now. You know, I like seeing good sports passion one way or
another. Come see us at the Rudder Room. We'll be there.
Yep.
Oh, we'll be there.
Yeah, we'll be at the Rudder Room.
Three challengers, Lucius. Anybody else?
This is not one. This is not one, but nah. I just want to know what Eric Chiafalo. Happy birthday, by the way, sir.
Hey, thank you, Lucius. Appreciate that, bro. Cheers.
Yeah. What are you talking about here, bro?
You just decide how much, how thick, and where.
How much y'all thinking?
The hell are you talking about? I'm trying to introduce people to the radio station.
Just talented guy.
That was awesome.
Have it your way.
Talking about my birthday festivities.
Well done.
Is it the WFAA fan with wife quit controlling football, Jerry? Blake Elliott's Super Bowl prediction, Commanders Bears. Pastry chef Eric calling into Sean and RJ. Or what is Eric Chiafalo talking about on his birthday? I'm going to go with the WFAA fan. Give me Pastry Chef Eric. Lucius?
Whoa! Yes, me too. Yes.
Bullchuck?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll go Pastry Chef Eric.
Brian?
Give me the Blake Elliott.
By a score of 3-1-1. And for the first time, your G-Bag of the Day champion. Maybe not first time.
No, he said some dumb crap in the past.
He's won in the past, yeah. I'm starting to think of the stuff.
Might be his third time.
The Denver, Colorado thing threw him in the spin cycle.
There he is. Congrats to Pastry Chef Eric. You know,
sorry. I was thinking about Blake Elliott. That's on me. Look at me.
That's sweet. First sip of beer. That's Stella today. Here we go.
Hey, I fell right in line with you.
We're live at the Brass Tap in Rockwall, brought to you by our friends at Stella Artois. Come fellowship with us. And got a sports hodgepodge coming up next, Chief. Where are you taking it?
Yes, we're not really going to give our attention to this again, are we?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. Thanks to the Tolos who have already made it by. We're at the Brass Tap in Rockwall, and it's brought to you by our friends at Stella Artois, so salute to them. And we'd love to invite you to join us as well if you're getting off work, or maybe you're going to get off work later. We'll be here all the way until 7 o'clock. All righty, NFL News of the Day is coming up at 3 o'clock. Time now for Eric Chiafalo Sports Hodgepodge. Take it away, Chief.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Walchuk just had a nice little tequila shot to kick off the proceedings today.
There's a double.
This could be
a double
pop.
That's why I passed it along. Just couldn't do it myself.
Oh, I noticed that. I noticed that. The Tolo with the long hair and the grill brought us a double shot of tequila.
Yeah.
And
I didn't know it was a double, and then I put it down and thought to myself, my God, that was a giant shot.
Good. Well, let's get this party started.
I appreciated it. Really, it did. I just could. Like, I've got work to do after our work to do. So I
could easily
fall
asleep.
I'll take two.
So I just said, Wolchuk, help me. And you did. Good job of powering that thing down.
No problem, buddy.
Yeah.
I can't believe we're really doing this. Did you guys see the graphic of the two greatest marketers going right now, just selling absolute
garbage and making a ton of money off it. The two bros, the Paul Bros, Collision Course, is this, HBO Max.
Is I guess it real?
they're gonna box each other. Yeah.
It's really happening?
Yeah. Oh, I'm totally out.
Totally out, right? Because well, Connor was supposed to fight Logan, but I guess Dana White said, no, you've still got two fights left on your contract with me. If you're fighting anybody, I need you in the UFC. So you're not going and fighting Logan Paul in a boxing match.
In no way does any just non-Jake Paul slash... What is his brother's
Jake
name?
Jake and Logan?
Logan Paul. I mean, unless you're just a super fan of theirs... And you're like 17 years old and you've been streaming these dudes for a long time.
I'm the idiot that's going to watch this, Eric, and you know that.
You're actually going to take the time.
Of course I will. Unless there's something better going on March 27th.
Oh, there will be something better going on.
I don't know. I think I'll probably be at home with the family, and I'll just end up popping it on and seeing. Do one of them knock each other out, which is probably not going to happen. It'll go to decision, and it'll be Jake that wins because he's got a better future than Logan does in the sport.
But there's all sorts of things to watch from Netflix and HBO Max.
There is.
This would require you like setting an event to watch this.
Right, but somebody's got to watch it from the show, right? So I'll just be the guinea pig, and I'll talk about it on Monday. I am a dork.
You've been subbing to these guys. You're part of their Patreon, aren't you?
No. I wasn't following them on YouTube, but I do like fights. I like boxing. I like MMA. So I don't know. Maybe I'll check it out.
Oh my gosh!
But it is.
But with no expectation, no excitement.
I expect it to be lame.
Only because there's nothing else in the world you'll be doing in that very second. So you'll just turn it on.
Well, I hope Dana schedules a UFC card that night to counter that, and then I'll watch that instead.
Okay. Yeah, that would watch some real professionals that actually want to beat each other up because there's something fun about that.
Yeah.
But these guys, I mean,
the Rangers home opener 817 will probably be over by the time this fight starts.
Rangers home opener is like a 3 o'clock first pitch or something like that.
Yeah, and then they play over the course of the weekend against is it the Red Sox this year? I think we're opening up with Boston.
They open it up with Boston. Yeah. Yes, Bo Sox baby. Yeah, so you might be so hammered from opening day that you just
maybe
pass
I just
out
fall
early.
I might fall asleep right now
and miss the worst fight of the year. Okay, so did you see the Ohio State Buckeyes losing their defensive coordinator?
Yeah, to Penn State.
He's going to Penn State, dude.
They told him to stay home for the parade.
What? I mean,
Jim Knowles.
Benedict Arnold.
Yeah.
If I've ever seen one. Penn State's like, okay, I'll just bunny whip you. And James Franklin's like, please come help me. Come save my defense here. Come save my job. And now he is the enemy of Buckeye Nation.
Oh.
I kind of love this. Like, if I was a Buckeyes fan, I'd be super bummed about it. But he gets a little over $3 million over the next 3 years, and he's just a mercenary. He wins the title with the Buckeyes. The confetti can't even hit the ground before
it hasn't even hit him.
He's signing the contract.
He's coming down
to go compete.
He's already got the whiteout outfit on for Penn State.
This is wonderful, dude. I'm up for this. I know Buckeye fans are probably just sending death threats and you know the usual Buckeye fan thing to do.
They got their championship.
Yeah, but they still just suck.
Move on.
Did you guys see what the cheapest ticket to the Super Bowl is? How fat it is?
Oh, damn it.
I'm going to guess $3,000.
Let's go.
That's a nice little guess.
$3,800.
Well, $3,800. Can Walchuk up the ante?
$5,000.
$6,201 tick pick nosebleed seats.
God,
you're touching
nosebleeds?
The rafters. Yeah.
Man, I used to get tickets.
The cheapest ticket on the reselling site tick pick. Over $6,000.
Damn.
To watch Jalen Hurts lose again. I'd pay big money for that.
But you're watching, I mean, it should be, honestly, when we think about it. First time in history, maybe the only time you're ever going to get to see a three-peat happen in the greatest sport in the world.
Not worth it.
No.
I mean, you've crossed the point unless I'm super wealthy.
Let the wet blanket let us know it's not worth
it. All right, Dawson.
It's not worth it.
Watch it.
Credit card debt.
Watch this. I'm about to get him here.
All right.
Cup final. World Cup final. $6,000 to get in.
Is the USA playing in it?
They're in.
Worth it.
That would be.
I knew I could.
But that's different. That's the red, white, and blue.
Oh, you know? No.
It's an international competition.
No.
All athletes will tell you it's more meaningful.
Okay. So
every single one of them.
You just went poo-poo on America's game and then like, oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Get a chance to see my country play in a World Cup? Sure, count me in.
Maybe I'm biased against football, but you know
wrong football.
I think $6,000 is way too much. I will be just fine watching it at home and keeping my $6,000, unless you know there, you know, there's just something about it. I don't know, unless you got millions and millions of dollars, dude. You know, it's just it's too high of a percentage. Like a six-figure income after taxes, right? So $6,000, yeah. Six figures after taxes is 60 grand. I'm going to give you 10% of my income for an entire year. Yeah. How long is it going to take me to pay this off? And then my wife's coming too, so we're going to actually give you 20% of our net income to come watch this game and be paying off the debt for 8 years.
And you're keep in mind you're sitting in the worst seat in the house.
Yes, making the Cowboys rich, making the NFL rich, and making Visa rich. You know, and there's a 50% chance we're going to lose this game. Not worth it.
Yeah, and just the,
Okay,
keep pushing back. Go
no,
ahead.
No, I was going to ask him.
Closing arguments.
There's a pretty good chance you're going to get in that World Cup final, and the U.S. is not going to be the favorite in that thing.
And it will never happen again. It's legitimately a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and it only happens every 4 years.
Well,
got to do it.
You think a three-peat's ever happening again?
No, and that's why I think if you have millions of dollars, you can justify spending thousands on going to a game. But for anybody else, it's irresponsible as the man of the house to do something like that with the family budget. How about that, Brian? How do you like them apples?
Yeah, how about that, Brian?
Seems like
I'll tell you what, hand me my phone.
Mr. Silver,
slam the gavel
over here.
We have a minute, winner, folks.
Oh, I'll just ask my dad.
Oh, look.
He owned a restaurant.
Video poker's on my phone. Let's see if I can win some cash now.
Yeah, how would Bennett feel if he's like, Dad, can you send me some money at Rodeo Goat?
$5,700 hand there. Let's see if I can bluff this guy.
Dad, I need some more Stellas here at the Brass Tap. I'm sorry, son. I paid $6,000 to go see the Chiefs three-peat.
Oh, wait a minute. My right hand is numb because I've been playing this for 17 years of my life.
Is that why it's numb?
Wait a minute. Oh, let's see if I can hit it with my foot. Oh, yeah, I got the bet in. $5,700. Let's watch me bluff this SOB. Come on, River. Ah, hit it.
Hey, kids, sorry you can't get a winter coat this year. Mom and Dad are off to the Super Bowl. Yeah, you should enjoy the TV dinners and Lunchables for the next 4 months.
We'll be blacking out on bourbon. Don't try and reach us. We have a curb to sleep on tonight.
Don't try and reach us.
But I mean, truth
it's
is.
Okay. Childhood hunger builds character.
Yeah. You'll be better
meals,
for it, I promise.
School meals. Just try the school meal program. You'll be okay. Don't worry about it.
The home viewing experience is unmatched anyways, you know?
No, you know what?
The home viewing experience.
I'm just going to say this, though. You got to be particular if you're going to a Super Bowl party, because there's some people that will not watch the game.
Oh, yeah. I
they will
watch
not watch
the separation
game.
Of powers. Those who don't care, those who do. We are up in the important room. And really,
what if the best
there's
TV?
No reason, there's reason for us to come down from time to time. Refills, you know.
I'm just telling you, you could go
there's
to a
no
party.
There's no reason for you to come upstairs.
You could go to a party where people just do not care about watching the game.
Yeah, but I don't associate. You know what I'm saying?
Those aren't my parties.
Those aren't my parties. Those aren't my people.
All right, let's be honest here. Have you gone to one of these where the people didn't care about watching the game?
Yeah, when I was younger and I was like along for the ride
did
with
it
mom
piss
and
you
dad,
off?
And there's a bunch of, absolutely, yeah, I'm like 9 years old trying to get after it. Yeah. And a bunch
I think
of
I was the guy that didn't care about watching the game when it was Cardinals Steelers.
And it was a legendary game.
I know. The highlights were tremendous.
It was a classic. The highlights. Never forget.
It was a long bus ride to a casino. So we'd been getting after it probably for 4 hours by the time the game started.
Come on, bro. You could have smoked about scene. Three or four cigs on the way. You'd have been fine.
Yeah. Yeah, it yeah. can't sober you up. But I don't know if there was anything I could do about the 18-pack of cold beer that I drank on that bus ride. There wasn't much you were going to be caring
the
about.
The truth comes
that.
Out.
Well, thank you, Chief.
Yes, sir.
Sports Hodgepodge here on the GBAC Nation. We are live at the Brass Tap. It's brought to you by our friends at Stella Artois. We'll have the C-Note coming up at 3:20 and some takeaways here on Eberflus, officially new defensive coordinator here on your Cowboys. But where are we going next, Wolchuk?
All right, what does Chase Daniel think about your new Cowboys coach? Aaron Glenn isn't messing around. And Duval, that's next.